Take your Bibles, if you would, and open up the book of Proverbs, chapter number 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Tonight, I want us to, we're going to look in several different places in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is such a wonderful book. Whenever you thank God for His Word, this may be one of the books of the Bible that comes to mind, because there's just such a wealth of information to help us as we live day by day. Wisdom, understanding, and things that we need to know about how to live. And I just thank God for the whole Bible, but especially for the book of Proverbs. And I would encourage you to spend as much time as you possibly can in this great book, because it will certainly help you to grow in your walk with the Lord. Let me ask you a question tonight, and I certainly do not want you to answer this by raising your hand or out loud, but has anyone ever told you that you were a loser? You know what? That's sad today that people would even use that kind of language. I've seen teenagers go, you know, put the big L up over their forehead, talking about somebody else and calling that person a loser. But let me tell you right now, you, when you know Christ as your Savior, you are not a loser. Yes. The Bible tells us we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave His life for us. And so what I want us to think about tonight is some attitudes, if you will, some perspectives of what a winner is going to think about and what a winner is going to, how they're going to live, because I believe that it's important how we think. And the Word, the Bible tells us that in Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 6, Proverbs chapter 23, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The Bible tells us in the book of Philippians, it gives us a list of things, and it says if there's any virtue and if there's any praise, think on these things, those things that are true, those things that are just, those things that are righteous. And throughout God's Word, we've given so many instructions on how we are to think. And I want to encourage you tonight to have the right kind of perspective, because perspective is so important as we look around us. Because, I mean, we can look around us and we can think, boy, this world is in a heap of trouble. And we would all agree with that. But at the same time, we look around us and we thank God for the reports of what's happening in the Philippines. I thank God of being able to be here every year and just to see the same faces and some new faces and your faithfulness and your giving and your serving. And what a blessing that is to me. And I know that's a blessing to God. But all around this world tonight, all over this planet, there have been people meeting together to worship one Lord, one God, one Spirit. And I'm so thankful tonight that we can rejoice in being able to do that. So let's ask God to help us tonight as we look at five things quickly tonight from the book of Proverbs, or how some attitudes, some perspectives we need to have in order to be winners for Christ. Father, I thank you tonight for your Word. Thank you so much, Lord, for the beautiful music that we've enjoyed and how that has stirred our hearts tonight. And Father, we just want to see Jesus. And I pray tonight, God, that as we look at a few things tonight, that you'll just use me and you'll give me the words that I need to say. And God, help us all to leave here knowing that we know Jesus as our Savior. Amen. Knowing that our eternal destination is heaven, and that, God, we are never considered a loser in your eyes, because Christ loved us. He gave his life for us. And we're more than conquerors through him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So God, help us tonight to see Jesus and to live for him, because someday soon he's returning, calling his church home. And I pray this all in his precious holy name. Amen. Amen. Again, it's so important how we look at life. There was one family who had a couple of twin boys, and other than looking alike, there was nothing that was alike in them. Everything just seemed like it was opposite. One would think it was too hot, while the other one said, no, it's not too hot, it's too cold. one would say, you know what, it's too loud. And the other one said, no, it's not loud enough. So one was just a pessimist about everything, and the other one was just optimistic about everything about life. And so on one of their birthdays, their dad had this idea. He said, I'm going to give them some things and just see what I can do to maybe kind of help them along. And so in the pessimist room, he put every imaginable toy and every game that he could think of. And in the optimist's room, he put nothing but horse manure. So that night, the father's passing by each one of these boys' bedroom. And in the pessimist room, he found this twin boy sitting in the midst of all of his new toys and games. And he was just weeping. Why? And then the father said, why are you crying, son? He said, because my friends are going to be jealous. I have to read all these instructions before I can do anything with this stuff. Everything's going to always need batteries, and everything in this room is going to eventually get broken. And so he walked on down the hallway, and he saw the optimist's room, who he had filled with horse manure, and he is jumping up and down in that horse manure. And he said, son, what are you doing? And he said, as much horse manure as there is in this room, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. So it's important how we look at life. It's important what happens here, because it happens here first, folks. And our enemy wants to do everything that he possibly can to get me and you to think that we're losers. He wants us to think you cannot witness. He wants us to think you cannot serve. He wants us to think that you cannot be everything that the Lord wants us to be. And I remind you again, you are created in His likeness, in His image. He died for us on Calvary. He loves us. Let me encourage you sometime to look through the Bible and look for the times when you find God standing. Interesting study. But you'll find sometimes you'll see where God is standing in judgment. But most of the time when you see God referenced in Scripture, He's sitting. He's ruling this world on a throne. He's sitting. He's God. He can do that. But I find it amazing that whenever He is standing, it's because of humans. Do you remember the dream that Jacob had? The ladder? Remember, he said, I saw the Lord standing. He was reaching out. And I want you to know tonight that God loves us, and He would not guide us someplace He will not provide for us. And as Sister Gwen is so beautifully saying tonight, when you can't trace His hand, you can trust His heart. And what a great blessing to know that we've been instructed in Scripture that we are to have a mind like Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we need to have that mind that the Lord lives in us and He wants to use us in a mighty way. And let me tell you this, that only you can be the one that dictates how you're going to think and how you're going to respond to things, how you're going to look at life and what your attitude is going to be. That's a God-given responsibility that every individual has. You can't control how I think. My wife cannot control how I think. And so we need to recognize that God has given us that power and says, I want you to think on these things. I want you to recognize that how you think in your heart is who you are. That's how you are. And life happens. Bad things happen to all of us. You can be driving down I-75 and your horn gets stuck between a mean motorcycle gang. That would be a bad event, wouldn't it? It'd be bad for you to show up at your office and there's a newscast wanting to talk to you. I mean, there's all kinds of bad things that can happen to us. But here's the thing is that when that life happens to us, we can determine how we're going to respond. And so as we read through the book of Proverbs, we find all these different words of wisdom that Solomon has given to us. And God has allowed him to write these things down for us so that we can understand how we can be winners. The first thing I want us to think about is found in Proverbs chapter 15. And as I mentioned to you earlier, I'm going to ask you to turn a few places with me tonight because I want you to see these verses and then hopefully maybe you can even mark them in your Bible. They'll be an encouragement to you. But I think the first thing that we need to have to be winners for Christ is to be optimistic. Yes. Be looking for the best. Right. Be looking for good things. Yes. Be looking for God. Be looking for God, like Brother Tim says, God to show up and God to do something special. And let me tell you, God doesn't just show up in church.
No, that's right.
Amen. He is with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He said He would never leave us nor forsake us.
That's right.
So in all these times when we feel like everything's bad, God is still right there with us.
Amen.
And He's there to help us. And so look at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. We need to have that gladness. We need to be optimistic. We need to be saying, you know what? Give me a little bitty Kia Soul and I'll pull a houseboat behind it. I mean, we need to have that kind of optimism that we can do anything for Christ.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus said it this way in Mark chapter 9, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Matthew chapter 21, and all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. See, your attitude, your perspective is your choice. And so we can choose to have that merry heart. And they have that countenance. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, it says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And so that optimism is really that first step to help me and you realize that we can do everything because Christ has enabled us. He's given us that help that we need to live the life that He's called us to live. But then the second thing we must have is diligence. We've got to be willing to do what God would ask us to do. Abraham Lincoln said it this way, the leading rule of a man for every calling is diligence. Never put off until tomorrow what you can do today. Be diligent. Whenever God is moving in our lives and He wants us to reach out, wants us to step out for Him, don't say, Lord, today's a bad day. The Lord put it on your heart today. Do today what He's called you to do. Roll up your sleeves. Get to work. You know, even when it means getting up early, even when it means staying up late, we need to be involved in doing things diligently. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 10. I want to go to two places here, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 4. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. In verse number 24 of chapter 12, just a page or two over from where you are, chapter 12, verse 24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. See, we need to recognize that God equates slothfulness with something that He just cannot bless. He wants you and me to be diligent. He wants us to be putting forth our best effort and being constant about that. Proverbs 18, verse 9 says, he also that is slothful in his work is a brother to him that is a great waster. Proverbs 19, 15, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. The Scripture says, if a man doesn't work, he's not to eat.
Amen.
You know somebody who's got a problem with working? Break their plate. Don't feed them. If they get hungry enough, they'll work. And you know what? That's the Bible. We need to learn to do that. Go and do what the Bible says. One of the Ten Commandments we have in Exodus chapter 20, verse 9. 6 days shalt thou labor and do thy work. So God has called us to work. And winners are workers.
Yes.
They're diligent. They're optimistic. I mean, look at our Lord Jesus Christ. He was a working man. He was a carpenter by trade. Look at the Apostle Paul. Look at the other disciples. I mean, the other disciples, they would fish sometimes all night long. The Bible tells us they'd do that all night long and catch absolutely nothing. They were fishermen, not catchermen. We talked about that this morning. But you know what? Jesus showed up and He says, hey, fellas, cast your net to the other side. And if you read the Bible and kind of listen to the sarcasm in the disciples' voice, Lord, we've fished all night long. We're fishermen. You're a carpenter. But You said it. You're the master. We'll do what You say. And you know what happened? They obeyed and God blessed.
That's right.
That's our responsibility, is just to be working and be doing what God would have us to do. Now you might say, well, preacher, but I have this problem and it keeps me from working like I should. Let me introduce you to a young lady. Her name is Wendy Stoker. She was an athlete who placed third, just 2.5 points from first place in the Iowa State Girls Diving Championship. She worked 2 hours a day for 4 years, just to get to that meet. She earned the number two position on her varsity diving squad. She was aiming for the national finals. She carried a full academic load at the University of Florida. She bowled in her spare time. She was an accomplished water skier. And one of the most remarkable accomplishments about Wendy is that she was a typist who could type 45 words per minute with her toes. I didn't tell you that Wendy had no arms. Wendy is motivated by an ingredient, one of the greatest assets that you and I have as human beings, and that's desire. Remember that verse of Scripture, Psalm 37, verse 4? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. And so we need to have that diligence. We need not to be handicapped by some, you know, what we might think is some unsurmountable odd against us. We need to say, he's powerful, and I can do this. I'll have optimism. I'll be diligent. But then the third thing I think a winner needs is to be generous. Be a giver. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 9, would you turn there with me? Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 9. And folks, I'm only pulling a few verses out. Let me encourage you, search the Scriptures. Learn how to live for God. But he says we are to be givers. God is a giver. He's the greatest giver of all. He gave his son, and he wants us to follow him and be givers. In chapter 22 of Proverbs, verse number 9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Jesus said it this way, give and it shall be given you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal shall it be measured to you again. I ask you tonight, do you have a giving attitude? Do you have a giving heart? Are you generous when it comes to yourself? Because, folks, people who are winning for Christ are those who are willing to give. Willing to give. And learning to give is difficult. Because so many times we don't look at God, we look at our wallet. Yeah. Yeah. Right. We don't look at God, we look at what we have. And we say, I don't have to give. But God says, you do have. I want you to give what I've given to you and trust me in return. I think it was Brother Tim this weekend that mentioned tithing. I don't know if I've shared this with you here or not before, but Sandra and I, when we first got married, we had both grown up in church. I was a pastor's kid. She was a deacon's kid. You know what they say when a preacher and a deacon's kid get together. We've had a wonderful life. I don't know what they're talking about. But here's the thing is that, you know, when we got married, we had been both raised and taught give. You get a dollar, you give a dime. You get 10, you give a dollar. That's what the Lord would ask of us. And so when we got married, we discussed it. And there were times when we would feel like we don't have it. We would look and we'd say, we can't pay our bills. We can't make the ends meet. And it was so amazing. Remember this morning I gave you that umbrella talking about that authority?
Yeah.
When I was under the middle of that umbrella and the authority, I was doing what God would have me to do. But whenever I started looking at my surroundings and I made decisions on my own thinking, as I was thinking in my heart, I stepped out from underneath God's authority and I said, I'm not going to give this week. We're not going to tithe this week. And you know what happened? That umbrella of protection of God's authority was removed by me from over my head and over my wife's head. And you know what? Stuff began to happen. It was amazing to me. The amount I needed to tithe, my car would break down and it would cost exactly that much to fix my car. That was God's blessing. That was God's mercy to say, son, I want you to learn to give. Trust me. There was one particular time I was working in retail at the time in Chattanooga at Northgate Mall and working in a shoe store. And it was on a Sunday afternoon. We went to church that morning and we had one of those conversations. Dear, we need to tithe. What do you want to do? And a particular day we decided we're going to obey God. We're tired of the process of having to fix the car and everything. So we're going to obey God. That day, I promise you this. It was a little slow. Wasn't doing much. I carried a briefcase with me. And then that afternoon, I decided it's a good day to clean out my briefcase. And so I began to clean it. And that morning, we had put in our tithe. Didn't think we could do that. But you know what? That day, as I am cleaning out my briefcase, I promise you, to this day, I don't know where it came from. But to the penny, it was exactly what we had given God that morning. You know what God said to me that day? Trust me. I will be faithful to you. And from that day forward, thank God and to His glory and by His grace, every single time whenever we get a check, we get some income, we say, that tithe is the first thing we pay. We do that first. We take care of God first because you know what? That's going to help us with our mortgage. That's going to help us with our automobiles. That's going to help us supply the food. It's going to take care of that. And I can't tell you how because I'm not that good at math. But in God's mathematical system, 90% goes further than 100% ever would. Why is that? Because we are giving. Because He said, if you're going to give, you're going to be a giver like I am a giver. You might not understand, but you're going to be able to give. Sometimes we give and somebody says, well, why did you do that? Why would you do that for me? Just recently, some folks in our church had family who came up running from Irma, very poor family. We didn't know anything about them. And after church, my wife came to me and she said, I think we need to give them something. So I opened my wallet and we gave and we sent that home. That night, this lady in our church sent us a text. And his words, her brother's words were, why would they do that? They don't even know me. It's just the love of God. And that's what happens whenever we learn to give and to be generous. We become winners. And God blesses us. And He says, I'm going to press it down. I'm going to cause it to run over for you. And I can tell you right now, you cannot outgive God. So you need to learn to be a giver. So we need to be optimistic. We need to be diligent. We need to be generous. But we also need to be forgiving. A winner is one who forgives people. Forgive. Forgive people. Is there a family member who has done some harm to you and hurt you? Forgive them. Is there a friend that's turned their back on you? Maybe they've used you to get some position for themselves. Forgive them. Has a child shamed you? Someone in your life done something to you? Just forgive them. Amen. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 9. Would you look there with me? Proverbs 17 verse 9. Just the first part of this verse. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. We need to be forgiving. So, preacher, you don't know what they've done. Jesus knows. And I'll tell you this right now. It doesn't matter what has happened to you. Worse happened to our Lord. And do you remember when some of the words He spoke hanging on the cross? Some of the most profound words that He said from that cross are written for us in Scripture. And He said, Father, forgive them. And did you notice He didn't stop there, but He said, because they don't know what they're doing. And you know what? I've been hurt. Just this year, I've had some things happen in my life, in my family's life, that I can tell you right now. I go to God and I say, God, I don't understand it. God, I help me. Because these have been some things they're hard to forgive. But you know what? None of those people have come to me and said, what I did to you was wrong. Will you forgive me? I hope someday they do. Because if they do, I'll be able, by the grace of God, to be able to say, I forgave you a long time ago. Amen. Because you know what? If you don't forgive, they're not the ones hurting. You are. That becomes that bitterness and it begins to take root into you and it grows out. And the Bible says it defiles others. It spills over into your life. You know, your best friend, probably your spouse, can recognize when you're having one of those days and they'll just say, hey, what's wrong? What's wrong? And sometimes it turns out it's just something happened and you need to release it. You need to release them. You need to forgive them. And a winner is one who does that. And number five, last thing tonight, is a winner is going to be one who has humility. It's humble. We think humility is thinking less of ourselves, but I would tell you tonight that humility is not thinking of ourselves at all. Just being humble. Turn in Scripture to Proverbs chapter 16. You're there in 17. So Proverbs chapter 16, two verses. Verse number 5, first of all. Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Verse number 18, same chapter. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Over in chapter 22, verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Humility is the taproot of all greatness in Jesus' eyes. And he's saying, you need to be humble. Yeah. Did you notice there in verse number 5 of chapter 16 where he said it was an abomination whenever we're proud? Yeah. You know, we don't think about that so much. Yeah. We don't look at that as being abominable. You know, people talk about, well, this is an abomination to the Lord. But when you start talking about their pride, they fold their arms and say, no, wait a minute. You don't need to talk about that. But that's what the Bible says. Amen. These six things the Bible says that God hates. And pride is one of them. Yeah. Pride is what keeps people from coming to Christ. Pride is something that will cause you to not be everything you ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we humble ourselves? Well, we do that by just giving. We do it by doing all these other things. We be optimistic. We be diligent. We be generous. We be forgiving. And then we serve other people. And by that, we're able to be humble. Because here's the thing, is we know this. Scripture says that whenever we humble ourselves, that God will lift us up. God, I don't know about you, but it makes you feel good whenever somebody looks at you and say, you know what, you're such a blessing to me. You're such a help to me. You know, I'm just so thankful that God has brought you into my life. And we like to hear another human tell us that. But you know what? If we're not careful, that'll cause us to lose some of our humility. That'll cause us to be proud. And I would rather not hear that if it's going to lead me to being proud. I don't want to be that way. I want to be the one that when we stand before God, God looks at me and God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. There's going to be lots of folks in heaven that are going to be able to come to you and say, thank you. Thank you for being diligent. Thank you for being generous. Thank you for being forgiving. Thank you for being humble. Thank you for giving to the Lord. But the greatest thanks is going to be from our God, from our Savior. Thank you. Thank you for being that faithful servant. He's called us. And he's not asked us to do anything or go anywhere that he will not provide for us and guide us. And so I want to ask you tonight, as his children, have you surrendered everything to him? Are you living for him with all these things in check? You're diligent. You're optimistic. You're generous. You're forgiving. You're humble. And if not, let me tell you that God is standing with arms wide open saying, I love you. I want to bless you. I want to give you the great riches of life through me, but you've got to follow me. And he's saying, come, whosoever will may come. If you don't know the Lord tonight, you can't experience the things of God until you met Jesus. And remember this, he died to save sinners. And if you've never trusted him, you're lost in your sins. And he says, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank God for that promise. All you have to do is just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. You save sinners. Please save me. And I promise you this, based on the authority of God's word, he will. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Thank you so much, Father, for loving us. Thank you, God, for giving us instruction in your word how to live. And every day, Father, we're going to be met with new testings and new temptations. But we know that you are faithful to us. And I pray tonight, God, that you would help us as followers of Christ to always be doing our very best for you. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We can do everything through Christ who strengthens us. And so, God, tonight, we just want you to be just take our lives and use them for your honor and glory. And again, Father, I pray if someone is here and does not know Jesus, that tonight they would come and they say, I want to know this gift. I want to understand the blessings that they're talking about, they've been singing about tonight. And let them come and we'll show them how to trust Christ as their Savior. So God, you move in every heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please, as Brother Mike sings.